The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Helen Vaughan, psychotherapist with Maynooth Counselling and formerly of this parish. Happy New Year to you, Helen.
Thanks very much.
And Helen is going to be joining us over the course of the next couple of days as part of a three-part series on mental health. And first, the first part of that series is on kindfulness and 10 small ways to be nice to yourself this month, because January can be a fairly glum and long and cold and dark month, and you've got 10 ways. And the first one is to drink more water.
Which I think in ways is kind of obvious, but it's easy to forget. And I think with these 10 tips, hopefully they're small and simple. And because I think in January you can be bombarded with join the gym, go for runs, do this, do that, be better, change everything, rewrite your entire brain, which is partially what I'm telling you. But these are small things you can do to be kinder to yourself rather than I need to run a marathon, you know, in March, which I think is a little too much too soon. And drinking enough water is a very simple one. Buy a water bottle, buy one that you like so that you'll bring it around with you. Hopefully you don't forget it. Fill it with water regularly throughout the day so that you keep the water going in. Because what I figured
how
out...
Much, I am terrible for drinking water, but how much water is enough?
Well, they say 1.5 litres or 6 or 8 glasses of water a day, I think is minimal. But then some people need more. But what new research has shown that if you lose just 1% of your body weight in fluid, that affects your memory and your mental performance. So it means if you're not drinking water throughout the day, you're not actually performing as well as you could and as well as you should. You know, if you're reporting on something complex and it's hard and you've got to concentrate, or any of us at work and it's tough, if you keep drinking water, in theory, your mind will hopefully work as best it can, and you're keeping your body working as best it can. And it's a small thing you can do to improve. But the other interesting thing is that coffee does count, tea does count. Although I have heard that they can...
Well, have the opposite effect, that
exactly.
They dehydrate you. Yeah.
Well, the research I read said that they do count. They wouldn't be all of your water, though. Like if you had 8 cups of coffee a day, I don't know that that's recommended. But it does say water, low-fat milk, smoothies, sugar-free drinks, tea and coffee do count. But obviously not... You know, don't drink a litre and a half of coffee or you might have some problems.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And how important is it then for your mental health to take the time out to go for a stroll out in the local park, the wilderness, along the beach?
I think for me anyway, it's huge. And I find with clients, I think it's huge. Like being in nature has got a good effect on your psyche and just on your mood. You know, when I used to work at Today FM, on the breakfast program, it was tough because you'd get up in the middle of the night, you come to work, you'd work. And at 9 o'clock, I was usually flying. I was in great form. That was my lunch break. And I would go out for a walk in Stephen's Green and just be among the trees, obviously the lake out there. But, you know, it was 9 a.m, so there wasn't that much to do at that hour on your break. But it's finding something that's near you, that it's maybe at lunchtime at work, going for a walk. If there's a canal or a lake or the sea, obviously would be ideal. But even a park, anything at all, even noticing the tree beside your bus stop when you're on your way to work or something like that. Or just trying to appreciate the little bits of nature around. Even having a houseplant in the room you're in your office if you can, on your desk if you can, or, you know, at home, obviously, as much as you can. And it's just seeing it, noticing it and just having a moment, even putting up pictures on the wall. A lot of people do it at work or do it at home where you put up nice nature, like holidays you've had or places you've been traveling or whatever. Put them up and just have a look and notice it, and don't let it fade into the wallpaper maybe and not notice it.
Yeah. One thing that you've mentioned here as well, and I love nothing more than spending a morning going down to the local farmer's market, picking up some fresh fruit and veg and ingredients to cook a meal. And that's one thing that you've mentioned here, is making a homemade dinner from scratch.
Yeah, that's the third way to be nice to yourself, or tip to be kind to yourself in January. Make a homemade dinner from scratch because you'll get good ingredients. It'll be healthier than the ready-made meal you might buy that's full of sugar and salt probably. You know, and you'll buy what you like. So if you like vegetables, lots of those. If you like a good cut of meat, get that. You know, but it's also cheaper because you could make a huge pot. And what I used to do when I lived on my own was I'd make a big pot and eat it for the whole week. Some people love that. Some people hate that. It depends what you're into.
What I do is I make a huge pot and then I eat it that evening, which kind of defeats the purpose. And I feel very ill afterwards.
We might end up seeing you as a client for another reason.
Yeah,
but that's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know,
on that point, exercise is very important, isn't it?
Well, exercise is number 4, and it's doing some exercise. We kind of mentioned it a little bit before when we talked about going for a walk at lunchtime or going for a run at lunchtime, especially this time of year when it's dark till about 9 a.m. It's dark again just after 4. So if you're working 9 to 5, you're going home in the dark and you're coming to work in the dark. So if you can go for a walk at lunchtime, go for a run at lunchtime if your work has a shower, which I always find is a good way to get some exercise into your day. you know, if you can work it into your schedule where you cycle to work, I always go on about it. I know some people are too afraid to do it, but try it. If your journey is, you know, 10K or less, that in a bike would take you no time at all. Whereas sitting in a car in a line of traffic, not moving, there's nothing more annoying personally. But, you know, I'm sure it's OK. But if you can do cycle to work or take the bus and then get off early and walk the last bit, just so you're getting your heart rate up, you might be thinking about work or you might be thinking about life, whatever, as you walk, but you're just having some time out. Hopefully you're not looking at your phone as you walk along. So you're away from your device, you're away from people maybe, you know, and you're just kind of chilling out, hopefully listening to AFM maybe, but that's okay.
Well, let's talk about phones then, because one of the things that you've mentioned there is to turn off notifications. There's no point going for this leisurely stroll through the local woodland if you're constantly stuck in your phone and not appreciating the nature around you.
If it's pinging the whole time, so if it's making noise. One way of doing it is to turn off the notifications so you're not getting headlines all the time or texts flash up on your screen. You can make them go straight to your WhatsApp or whatever. The other thing that I did when I was actually working the breakfast shift at Today FM is I turned off the sound on my phone so it doesn't ring and doesn't ping when it gets a message. And I've never gone back because it's actually really nice. I look at it when I need to look at it or want to or whatever, but it's not. If I'm in the middle of a conversation or doing something or, you know, making this great meal for the week, it's not constantly telling me, pay attention to me, stop what you're doing, stop what you're thinking about.
I have a blinding flashing light that goes off when I get a text message. So it doesn't vibrate, but this, it's like being at a rave, this light goes off.
And you can put it on Do Not Disturb as well.
Yes,
so if you want to have a break at lunchtime or at, you know, later in the evening, you can do that. So you're not blinded by that light in the middle of the night or in 9 o'clock or whatever time you go to bed.
We could really go on and on. But some of the other ones, it's a no-brainer, but so many of us don't get a regular sleep.
So that's number six. Well, the key to that is creating a routine by going to bed at a certain time and then sticking to that rather than sitting in front of the telly and kind of falling asleep down there. And then I used to find if you fell asleep in front of the TV and then you went up, you were wide awake by the time you got to bed, even though you'd been sleepy before. But it's trying to go to bed at a regular time, say 10 o'clock, for example, so that you know you'll have wound down and maybe be asleep by 11 or whatever, depending how early you get up. You know, helpful things to help your sleep is obviously get a routine, go at the same time every night. Also leave your device outside the bedroom, or else when you go to bed, don't look at it. Put it down, have it charging, whatever, but don't look at the screen. So that's not getting your brain on active alert, you know, party time. It's trying to wind down. Read a book, like paper, print on paper, nothing more, nothing like it. You know, or find what you like. Some people find it helpful to write a diary for the day when they go to bed, or write a thought record. If you're someone that can be anxious and have lots going on in your mind, write all that down, either in bed or before you go to bed, ideally, so you do it in an environment that's not your bedroom. And you've kind of purged all your worries and thoughts or whatever, and you've got them out of your mind. It just means they're likely to run around your head a little less. Other things helpful are doing a mindfulness app to wind down at, say, 9 o'clock if you're going to bed at 10, breathing exercises, anything like that. And also learning what disrupts your sleep. So if there's something that you know bothers you, undo it or avoid it or stop it early enough that it's not bothering you at bedtime.
Making time for yourself, limiting your device time, and learning to say no if you're feeling overwhelmed. Some other key points that you've made there that that people should embrace in January. This is a time for change and new and better you and all that. We could go on.
And
for,
don't be afraid to say no,
don't
which
be afraid
I think is a big one.
Don't be afraid to say no. Helen Vaughan, thank you very, very much for joining us to discuss that. And you will be back tomorrow. We have a book as well, Kindfulness. Is that where you're getting the tips? And if anybody wants to read
tips.
Up and
yeah, Kindfulness by Padraig O'Moran, which is a good book. Any of his books are great, actually, with lots of really helpful, small, digestible tips in them.
Okay, great. And you'll be back tomorrow to discuss the imposter syndrome, which is something I think a lot of us suffer from and may not even realise it. And we'll discuss that tomorrow. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.